I want you to go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. If you're going to hang out at Hillview, here's some things you need to know. If you don't understand Ephesians 5, you won't understand our church. Okay, because I want you all to get this. First of all, there's some words I want you to connect with so as this year unfolds, you will understand what it's like to be a part of this church. First of all, it's about a relationship. Church is about a relationship. First relationship. I am relating that Jesus Christ died on the cross and has risen from the grave. I've had that experience. When I watched the service video, you know what I thanked God for? How many times did you hear the word cross and resurrection? Cross and resurrection. You don't serve so you'll feel good. That's the YMCA. That is a civic organization. Nothing wrong with that, but I want you to know the difference. The church isn't in line with the Kiwanis, the Rotary, and service organizations. That's not why we serve. We don't serve to do nice things. We serve God because by serving God, people come to life. You see the difference? In other words, when we twist a knob on an oil pan at an oil change, that single mother, instead of having her oil changed, we're praying that her life might be changed. You see the deeper issues there. Hello? If we're working with a football team, it's just not so that they can win a state championship. Coach Cox, you asked me how your season is done. I'm going to tell you how your career went at Warren Central. You have people that are living in eternity forever and ever and ever because of Jesus Christ through the game of football. That's a different reality. Y'all understand the different reality. Here's what I want you to know. Every time you serve God, what you have done in the name of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit shall never be forgotten. Because it's an eternal reality. How many of y'all realize there's some rhythm here? We're in relationship. Now here's what I want you to know. I want you to hear me clearly. I don't want anybody in the room to be confused. Some of you are confused about this. I want to give you three things. The church is never stated as being through the Bible. Number one, God never uses business in relationship to His church. There's not one metaphor where God uses the business of Rome in comparison to His church. Now we have to ask ourselves a question. Why is that? Business was fervent in Roman culture. Business was fervent in biblical times, but Jesus never used the business economic structure in that organization in parallel with the community of Christ. Why? You can't produce the situation. God has to give it. If you're doing business, what are you doing? You're producing a product and you make a what?
Profit.
Three of you said that. That might be the problem of our economic crisis right there. If you're in business, you're producing either a product or a service for a what?
Profit.
That's not what the church does. The church receives the empowering of God, joins a relationship with what? Jesus, so the kingdom of God might be revealed. Different deal. Now watch this. Does the church use some business principles?
Yes.
And God talks a lot about business in the Bible. But He doesn't compare the church to it. And you say, well, where did all this business and church stuff come up? 1980s. The church decided they were going to operate the church like IBM. Now, I think here's the problem we have. We have big crowds, and the church has lost its first calling. We are to serve God. I think the era of drawing crowds into the church, and I've even heard it here at Hillview, heard it for several years, especially in our beginning days, everybody would come to church and they'd say, I'm coming here because I get this out of it. Okay, now some of y'all are going to get really ticked at me right now. That's a very immature believer. When you come to church and say, I need to get this out of it, I need to get that out of it, I'm not going to that Bible study class because this doesn't work, or I don't like that worship song because it doesn't do this for me, okay? That's a very beginning understanding of God. Those are not mature people. Those are very immature people. Mature, deeply committed Christians say this, I'm giving unto God because I'm madly in love with God. It's a relationship. The church is not a business. Number two, the church is not an organization. It's not an organization. I hear that all the time about the church. Well, it's an organization. No, it's not an organization. It's not an organization. It is a living body. It is alive. Organizations aren't live. They're just what? Organized. They're not growing. They're not living. They're just put together. Watch this. Here's why the church is not an organization. We can't create the living organism called the church. Who had to establish it? Jesus. How many of you all can create your own organizations? Hello, now you're understanding. Number three, the church. The church. You ready? Is not an entertainment center. I know I sound contradictory today after what you've seen. Here's what I mean by that. The church is not designed for your pleasure. Look at your neighbor and go, that blows me away. Go ahead and tell them that. Now listen, I know that that sounds weird, doesn't it? Y'all got the three things the church is not. We're not a business. We're not a business. You know, when you take up offering, we're not here to take your money. We're here to give money so that God's kingdom might be revealed. We're not an organization. We're not just a hand out clothes or hand out food or make sure people's marriages are good organization. This is a living entity, a living reality. Number three, we are not an entertainment center. The church was not given for your pleasure. Now watch this. Here's what's going to be wild. The church was created for God's pleasure. Whoa. Now this is really cool. How many of you are glad to know that when we actually live out biblical community, God is pleased? But God never looks at us and goes, wow, Hillview Heights, I tell you what, y'all are an impressive business. I am impressed. That doesn't impress God. Watch this. God has seen a multitude of tycoons come and go over His time of watching humanity. For those of you all that feel like you've really done a good job, God watched the emperors of Rome who claimed to be deities overtaken by people that were called barbarians. Here's what I have found about deeply intellectually people. They will study themselves into stupidity in the least little common sense issue will lead to their destruction. Be careful, America. We will not think our way out of our problems. But I tell you how we could change a lot of what goes on in our nation. I believe we could serve our way out of our problems. If we really got an attitude, hey, I'm going to serve one another. And that means some things. Let me show you. First of all, church got to have attitude. If we're going to be a part of the kingdom of God, we need a kingdom God attitude. Here's what Ephesians 5 says, and I want you to start with me. And I'm going to go quickly on this, so please pay attention. Verse 15. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as what? Wise. God calls us to be wise. How many of y'all understand that wisdom is important? I like people that have lived a little longer than me because guess what? Some of them have wisdom. Mr. Goff, why didn't I say all of them have wisdom? Because all of them don't have wisdom. How many of y'all have met some people who lived a long time and have done the same stupid thing over and over just waiting for it to bless them? Okay, that's called foolish behavior. Wise behavior are people that have made mistakes, made corrections, and can tell you the difference between different situations in life. How many of y'all have ever met people like that? Those are called people of wisdom. People who are wise are not mistake-free. People who are wise have actually corrected from what they've learned from their mistakes. That's a man or woman of wisdom. I've been reading the Proverbs all week long. I don't know, I just got in. I needed a proverb fix. So how many of you have ever read the Proverbs? You ought to read the Proverbs. In fact, I would recommend this to you. A proverb a day. Just start with chapter 1, and they got these verses in there now, like, you know, chapter 1, verse 1, and just read a proverb. You know, you'll have 5 years worth of Proverbs. You can read one and you'll think about it all day. And you know what? If you really look at the Proverbs, they're all true. And these are people of wisdom that says, you know what? If you do these things, this is what's going to happen to you. And here's what I love about being spiritual. Because God is spiritual, and because God is relational, and because Jesus died on the cross and is rose from a grave, that's mysterious. When He gets into my life, my spirituality calls me to be practical. Because I love people, when I see hungry people, what's the practical relationship?
Feed them.
Chuck, because I've been dead to sin and brought alive into Christ, and I see people that need clothes, what's automatically my response?
Give clothes.
If I hear about single mothers who, you know, really don't know much about cars, now that's a generalized assumption. Some ladies know a lot about cars, a lot more than I know about cars. But the majority of the time, Salem, yeah, they can get taken advantage of. So a church decides to change their oil. That's an automatic response because Jesus has changed our lives. Is this clear today? Am I talking to the wall? Are y'all getting this or not? Come on, tell me, this is a crucial get. Get it?
Got it.
Can I move on? Now, note the response. It says, examine how you live your life. Don't live as unwise people. Here's what unwise people, I'm going to give you some examples of unwise things. They quit their job before they have another. What's that called? Stupid. God does not want you to be stupid. This is going to go out on the internet. I'm fixing to blow our server up. So, Jim, we might have to get another server. Watch this. Here's what I want you to know. When you make stupid decisions, you have real stupid consequences. Now, young men, young women in this moment of worship, I want you all to hear me. There is a consequence for every motion. And you cannot vote out the consequence. And the reason I'm screaming this is you're not believing this. We've created a whole culture that says I can do whatever I want to do and those consequences aren't going to come in. Well, if you're not awake by now, you're in for a ride the rest of your time here on earth. We leveraged everything in our economy that we could leverage. We've got people living beyond their means, going to places they never needed to go, owning things they could never own, all on leverage. And it collapsed. Consequence. Proverb. You want to hear the proverb? The debtor will be a slave. That's the word. That's the word. Not a borrower. It says will become a slave to the what? Lender. So here's what our government does. Well, we're better than God because we have a place in Colorado that prints paper money. So what we're going to do is print $2.3 trillion worth of it and throw it back into the economy and the problem will be solved. Have you noticed we have been solving the problem of poverty since 1960? You want to hear the real results? It's gotten worse. You know how you get tired of being poor? Sleep in the ditch for a few nights. Which is, you want to see a quick way to alcohol rehab? Wake up in the morning with the rainwater trickling over your head off the side of the road. And guess what you'll do? Well, I tell you what, I don't think it's a good idea anymore. And you'll take your first step. I got a problem. I got rainwater from the road on my head. I should be in a bed. But what we want to do, I just want you to be careful. Our government cannot be Jesus. It's a good thing, but it cannot be Jesus. And we got a lot of people wanting our government to be Jesus. Now, we can be like Rome. We can hand you some bread. We can keep you occupied. And we can protect you till we total collapse. Here's what I mean. Y'all will probably agree with me. You know what? A lot of you don't think America can ever collapse. Ooh. This is where the intellectual become very foolish. If Rome can collapse,
France, Britain.
What was that great nation, great empire, way back in history called the Greek? Oh, if you go visit it now, it's full of what? Ruins.
There's only one nation I know that's going to go on and on and on and on and on, and that is the kingdom of God. Amen? And it goes through all moments of time. I want to show you why it's important to serve. It's the attitude of being in relation to God. Look what it says. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Make the most of every opportunity. That's what we want to do here at Hillview. We just want to simply make the most of every opportunity. So here's what I wanted you to know today. Anything you do can be used to testify to the cross and resurrection. You say, well, Pastor Ayers, I got one thing. What about immorality? Immorality can be used because it shows you you've been crucified from those unwise decisions. You have been resurrected to wise decisions. And now you're living a totally different life. It's a witness of God's truth. How you like that one? How many of y'all live in that story? How many of y'all really, the cross and resurrection in your life is simply this. I was unwise. Jesus came into my life, forgave me of my sin, and now I live in wisdom. Now I got more wisdom. I don't practice the things that used to kill me. Now here's some things we need to be doing. Look at this. Because the days are evil. Well, guess what? If I was reading that in 1970 and I said, because the days are evil, what would you all say? Gary, they said, absolutely, these long hairs, they're evil. The world's coming. I heard the world was coming to the end in 1970. Long hairs. When men started growing their hair long, we were out of here in a few years. Any of y'all hear that? Y'all came through that time. What about in the 60s, where the times were evil? What about in the 50s? Were the times evil in the 50s? Dr. Smith, you were there. In the times of the 50s, what was evil then? Elvis! Oh, God, help us! Can y'all remember when Elvis shook his pelvis? On national what? And what happened? Watch this. Our young people right now are absolutely fried. We might as well be talking to them about dinosaurs. They couldn't imagine Elvis just going boom, boom, national TV, and there was an outrage. And he even had his pelvis covered. Well, we went from Elvis to Eddie Van Halen, who had his pelvis uncovered. And we all just sat there going, well, this is just a certain group of people that will really never affect the national society, or it will never really penetrate those who have a lot of sense. I'm going to tell you what, if you let unwise decisions loose, they will wreak havoc on everybody. Everybody. Be careful. We need to live well because the days are evil and they've always been evil because Christ hadn't come back yet. Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Don't get drunk on wine. This is not a good time to be drunk. Why? Not that any of you in this room, because y'all are such Puritans, have ever been intoxicated. But I want to give you just one point. Intoxicated people don't think well. How many of you all have made that observation? And when the times are evil and you're not thinking well, guess who's going to get hit? You are. It says, don't be drunk on wine. Now, Lord have mercy. We know the church, and especially the Baptist Church of Christ and the Methodist, have covered that part of Scripture. Amen? Here's the part they forgot to cover. But, be filled with what? The Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's where we got to activate the church. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And then he gives some instructions. Now, here's what I want you to know. I want you to look at this scripture just a little bit different, okay? I'm not teaching on marriage today. I'm teaching on the church in relation to Christ. This scripture goes both ways on that, okay? We are the wives in this story. Now, men, I know y'all go, man, I ain't no woman. No, you're in the position. The church is a bride. How many of y'all understand that the church is a bride? I need some more hands. The church is a bride. Okay, and I'm going to be real quick on this, Pastor Mark. I am. I'm paying attention. I've got a wrap up to this. You ready? Look at here. We submit to one another. That means this. We want the best that Jesus has to offer in each other's lives. Does that give you the attitude? And we are a bride. We are to shine the glory of the Christ relationship to the world. How many of y'all have ever seen a good-looking bride? All you men should have your hand up right now unless you don't want to eat tonight. Okay? Watch this. Gentlemen, I want to ask you a real quick practical question. How many of you have found this? Your wife always looks better when you act better. How many of y'all found that to be true? Now, Chuck, your wife looks good all the time. And if we stood you up and showed a man, we know that the grace of God is a true reality. Amen?
Amen.
So watch this. Yeah, but Chuck, when you're behaving, is Ann looking better?
Oh, yeah.
Is she feeling better?
Yes.
Yes, why? Because the relationship is in order. Now, church, here's where we stand. God will shine through us if we will submit to Him. God is not impressed with what we can do. Tell your neighbor that. He is not impressed. This is where we're all confused. He's not impressed with what we can do. But He celebrates what we will open up and allow the Spirit of God to do through us. But that's so hard for us. Because we're an American church. And we want to go do our little service project. And we want to run up here to the throne of God and go, God, did you see what I did? And we want God to go, you're so special. Here's a blue ribbon. Or we walk around and we go, well, let me tell you what I tithe. And God's up in heaven. Let me show you what you can't tithe if I don't bless your business. See what I'm saying? God is not impressed with what we can do, but man, He celebrates with us when we let Him do it through us. Amen. So here's what He says. Church, watch. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Let me show you something. You could easily say this. Church, submit to your Lord as to the Lord. Church, submit to the Lord. Here's what Jesus wants us to do, basically. Bottom line, love the hell out of the world. We love and love and love and love and love. And when we encounter evil and hell, we love our way through it. When we see places that need to be taken care of, we take care of those places. And guess what? Church, we got to start doing something. You got to sing! When times get hard, you got to sing unto the Lord. A new song. And you don't stop. And when they say, well, Pastor Steve, you crazy, you don't stop. When they say, Hillview Heights Church, how come you all won't submit to the world? Because our husband who art in heaven is greater than what we have down here. Yeah. Amen. How many of y'all believe that? You're going to have to believe it. And He tells us this. Look at this. This is where I want to end today. This is our mantra of love unto God. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. Christ is the head of the what? Pastor Steve not head of the church. You not head of the church. Your money's not head of the church. Your attitude's not head of the church. Your little special interest groups are not ahead of the church. The Democratic Party's not ahead of the church. The Republican Party's not ahead of the church. The independents aren't ahead of the church. Guess what? The Muslims aren't the head of the church. The intellects aren't the head of the church. The Spirit of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, He is a King. He reigns at the right hand of the throne, and He is the head of the church. Guess what we're supposed to do? Submit to Him. And here's what it means to submit. Do what He asks. Love what He says. This is going to be a weird one for you. And dance with His tune. Here's the problem with the church, especially the Protestant church, man. We ain't got no groove. We ain't got no groove. The Protestant church, man, for years, especially the white Protestant church, we sit there all stagnant. Looking at who came into it. Man, we ought to be the people of celebration in a world that has none. And if we would celebrate the grace of God, serve with a celebrative heart, sing the songs unto the Lord, practice the wisdom He has to give us, guess what? The world's going to go eventually. I want what's in you. And then guess the good news we have. You can have Him. His name is who? Jesus. And we will continue on. Amen. So church, submit to the Lord. For He is the head of the what? Church. Why do we serve God at Hillview? Because God loved us first. Amen. Will you stand with me? Got an altar call today. Okay, let's really look. Hey, I'm glad y'all are here. I'm glad y'all are listening to this stuff. Hey, I want to thank some of you. I know you're in here. Junior, I want to thank you in the name of Jesus. I heard you stepped up to the young boys, and I want to honor you in front of your church. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. You know how excited I am to know that we got a real man who loves God, who loves his family, who's raised his kids, who does what Jesus is asking him to do, that we got a man like that teaching seventh graders. You know how great that is. You know how great that is. That's going to make a difference. And watch this. I'm going to ask you all a question. What happens if one of the presidents of the United States comes out of our congregation? See, none of y'all know how. Watch this. How many of Barack Obama's grade school teachers ever thought he'd be president in a white America? Huh? No, but I bet a bunch of them just flew by. That's just what they had to do. They had no idea. They had no idea. Watch this. You reckon Reverend Wright might have changed some of his sermons if he knew that he was pastoring the President of the United States? See, watch this. If Reverend Wright had been listening to God, he couldn't have preached some of the stuff he preached. Because you can't preach what doesn't line up in the text. God's never said he likes white folks or black folks better. That's our issue. He said he just loves folks. And if you want to know what race God likes better, it's Jews. And I don't see any of y'all in here that look like that. That's who he likes. If you want to see who his chosen people are, read the book. It's the Jews. Huh. I've told y'all this before. There's two races that are mentioned in the Bible, Jews and Gentiles. Jews come in one flavor. Gentiles, we look like Baskin Robbins. Just be glad that he saved you. Amen? Amen. How many of y'all glad that Jesus didn't come just for the Jews alone? But he said, I tell you what, I have a chosen people, and in the name of Jesus Christ, I'm going to graft you into them. So when you get to heaven, don't be surprised if you won't swing to a little polka, and you'll be glad to swing to it then. Amen? All right, now listen, we got to get this race thing lined out. Here's how we serve one another. We love one another by the grace of God. Hillview, you've been doing that for years. I don't have to ask you to change anything. But I have to ask you this. Continue on if it gets hot. Continue on if they say, no, we got to be divided. Because we're going to say in Jesus Christ is where true unity is. I'm telling you. We got to be a little model over here of what only Christ can do. Only Christ can heal racial prejudice. Only Christ can keep your economics in line. Only Christ can save you from your sin and bring you into eternal life. Jesus only. So today, if you don't have that headship in your life, guess what? Today, somebody's going to get saved in here today, right here at 8 o'clock, right off the bat. Somebody's going to get saved here today. I want you to come and I want you to say, Jesus, you know what? I'm a sinner. But right here, January, whatever it is, right here today, I'm going to bend at that altar and I'm going to tell you, Lord, I want to be forgiven of my sin and I ask you to forgive me right now. Guess what Jesus is going to do? He's going to forgive you because that's what he does. And you're going to walk out of here changed forever. That's a wise decision. Church, we got to live it out. These are difficult times. But you know what? I think God started a church that was bankrupt, literally. 18 years ago for a reason. Because God knew that the nation would be bankrupt shortly. And he wanted a group of people who had survived bankruptcy. Who had submitted to the Lord and said, God, I want you to know that you live in a church where 18 years ago after worship, they could count the offering without a calculator. And I'd say, boys, are we open one more Sunday? And they'd say, yeah, we got one more Sunday in us, Rev. And you know what I found? If you just go one more Sunday and one more Sunday and one more Sunday and one more Sunday, and one more Sunday. Finally, you're looking out and some people that used to have hair, their hair has gone. Those who used to have color in their hair, they have become a glistening white. And you keep on going and thousands get saved. So you know what? Right now is your opportunity to get saved. And we're going to preach on and love on and serve much. Amen. Y'all got this? We're the bride of who? Ladies, you're going to have to help us men because we don't know how to be a bride. So when y'all act like a really good bride, guess what? We go, wow. Now we need to be a bride. Radiant. Y'all ever seen a good-looking bride walking down the aisle? Can't take you what? You can't take your eyes off of it. Even if it's somebody else's bride. I mean, I'm not being ugly or immoral or anything like that. She's just what? Watch this. I've never seen an ugly bride. Now, I've seen some train wrecks after the marriage, but I ain't never seen an ugly bride. I'm just being honest. What y'all want me to do? Lie? Y'all know I'm telling the truth. But when they walk down that center aisle, what's happening? I want you to know that same radiance ought to be coming out of us as the bride of Christ. So today, after Bible study, you notice how I said that? When you go to Shoney's or wherever you end up going, you ought to sit down in that restaurant and people ought to go, what is that radiance? It's the joy of the Lord. I've been with my brothers and sisters. But more than that, I've been with my God who will not stay dead and who calls me home constantly. Amen. I want you to come to the altar and pray for President Obama. I don't want you to just pray for him. I want you to pray for everybody he's appointed. I want you to pray for the Senate. I want you to pray for the House of Reps. I want you to pray for the Supreme Court justices. And then I want you to pray for you, that you would be more radiant. Hold on, here's our prayer today. You ready? That you and I together as the church would be more radiant than sin is dark. If you need to be baptized, come talk about that. If you need to be saved, come and surrender to that. God is loving folks today. Let's be the church. Boy, how pleased God would be today with His bride if everybody was at the altar. I wonder what God would think about that today. If you can't kneel down like your pastor, come and sit on the front two rows. Let's end the service at the altar today. Come on, church, in the name of Jesus. Come on.